Hey, everybody, this is Gary Hoey, and you are hanging with my friend John on Iron City Rocks.
This is Derek Whelan, keyboard player with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
Hey, this is Chris Caffrey from Spirits of Fire, Sabotage, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you are listening to Iron City Rocks, so crank it up.
Welcome to episode 544 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. And this time around, the best hard rock Christmas podcast on the net. We have joining us from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra for what has been an annual tradition for as far back as I can remember. We have Mr. Jeff Plate joining us to talk about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra shows at the PPG Paints Arena December 21st. They'll be performing The Lost Christmas Eve. If you're interested in the TSO, you probably have realized this show is quite heavily tied to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I've sort of lost count on the number of guests we've had from the TSO over the decades. This year they're coming in to do The Lost Christmas Eve. They're doing two shows at PPG Paints Arena, 2:30, 7:30. Tickets available for both of those shows still, but if you've been to one of those shows, you know it's a packed house, so don't wait incredibly long to get yourself tickets. So we're going to play you a little TSO to get you in that Christmas mood, then we'll talk to Mr. Jeff Plate.
On the street in the night, in the cold winter's light, a child stands alone and she's waiting. And the light that's out there, it just hangs in the air, as if it was just hesitating. And the snow, it comes down, and it muffles the sound of dreams on their way to tomorrow. And when they appear, this night will hold them near, for where they will lead, it will follow. For here in this city of lights, this evening awakens the dreams that it might. The winter, it conjures the spells it will weave, so gently covers the ground. Christmas Eve. On this night, there's an ancient hotel where shadows they do tend to wander. And the ghosts that live here hold each moment so dear, for time's not a thing one should squander. And they recount their sand as it runs through their hand and examine each moment for meaning. It can be wished upon till the moment it's gone, like day disappears into evening. For here in this city of lights, this evening awakens the dreams that it might. The winter it conjures, the moment is seized, the snow gently covers the ground. Christmas Eve. Meant this night grows fonder of children and circumstance caught in this childhood dance. As the world turns around, keeping dreams off the ground, windows of frosted ice, prisming candlelight, and somehow we start to believe in the night and the dream as it cuts through the noise, with the whisper of snow as it starts to deploy. In the depths of a night that's about to begin, with the feeling of snow as it melts on your skin, and it covers the land with a dream so intense that it returns us all to a child's innocence. And then what you thought lost and could never retrieve is suddenly there to be found on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Eve.
Welcome back to Iron City Rocks. We have Jeff Plate on the line. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you back. It seems like we've been doing this for about a decade. But this is actually the 20th anniversary of the Lost Christmas Eve. You guys are going to be doing this, you know, anniversary show. Can you talk a little bit about what this time of the year is like? I mean, compared to... You know, I think everybody has kind of a sense of maybe what the show is like when you're in the process of rolling the trucks from town to town and, you know, trying to get some sleep where you can. But this preparation period, is this in some ways more difficult than the actual tour?
I mean, there are elements to it that are difficult. I think all of us right now realize that we're going to be away from our homes for over 2 months. Mm-hmm. So getting everything buttoned up at home before you leave is always, I mean, in my case, I speak for myself, it's always a priority, you know?
Sure.
So, but it has been like this for the past, I've been here from the very beginning. So ever since we developed this touring schedule where we're basically gone from the end of October until January 1st, this is the norm. So I enjoy all aspects of it. You know, there's hard work involved with all of it. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, once we get rolling and are actually doing shows, that's a completely different kind of energy and work altogether. But right now, doing the press, you know, preparing myself, going over the songs, getting in shape. I mean, I stay in shape as it is, but
sure,
you work a little bit harder the closer we get to the tour. And, you know, just making sure everything is cool at home, so when I leave, I'm comfortable and relaxed, and my wife has an easy go of it.
Yeah, you don't think about that. You know, when you talk to a touring musician, usually you think, okay, you know, what are the rest stops and the, you know, those kind of mundane tasks. But you know, from a mental standpoint, I think everybody has been in that situation where something, you know, is going on at home, and it really does draw on your attention. Is it something, but you know, like, I guess the pandemic probably gave you a great sense of this. Was it almost weirder to be home during that period of time? At this point, you know, like, you kind of like, you know, get out of the way, you know, I don't want you doing the Christmas tree, that's what we do, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, do you find yourself kind of like the foreigner in your own house at that point?
You know, it really was kind of strange. And I mean, even leading up to the decision not to tour, you know, I mean, it was months that we were talking about this.
Sure.
And you could kind of see it coming down the road. I think by the time summer came around, it was pretty much a given that we weren't going to tour. So I was kind of mentally prepared for it. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, there were days when I woke up and I just felt so like, I shouldn't be here right now. I should be, you know, taking a shower, getting on the bus and heading to the venue. But having said all that, and luckily the pandemic did not really affect, I mean, a number of people in my family got sick, but I didn't lose anybody.
Sure.
So, But nonetheless, being home at that time really was awesome in its own weird kind of way.
Yeah.
I live in upstate New York. You know, we get snow. Luckily, that year we had a bunch of snow. I went crazy decorating the house and, you know, inside and everything. It was really, it really was a pleasure to be home at Christmas.
Yeah.
But that's not what I do.
Yeah.
And so we enjoyed it very much while I was here. And then, of course, too, you know, we did that live stream.
Yeah.
Which was quite the task that that management took on in Paul O'Neill's family to decide to do something like that. That was not an easy endeavor either. But we got something very productive done, and being home certainly was rewarding, but at the same time, I would have much rather have been on the road.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how often you hear, you know, musicians for that period of time with you know, the rest of their family were like, I think we need him to get back on the bus. You know, he's kind of gumming up the process at home. yeah, so I totally get that. The live stream, looking back on that, was that something that you see the band ever consider doing? I mean, obviously that was a reaction to not being able to come to our towns, you know, like we're so used to. But I mean, obviously that's a tremendous amount of work, you know, to put a show of that magnitude in kind of a, you know, I don't want to say a one-off, but I mean, that's a lot of work to do for a live stream. Is it something you would see them doing again, or is it, you know, hopefully we never need to do that again?
You know, I really don't know. I don't really know about that. That process, I mean, it was one thing to just put the stage together and the show and, you know, choreographing the whole thing, all the filming and everything. The COVID protocols we had to go through to do that, that was probably just that much more work and intensity than actually doing the show itself.
Yeah.
It was very tight. We were all just, you know, we were kind of all on pins and needles, honestly, because we didn't want to get COVID and ruin the thing and et cetera, et cetera. So, but to the idea of doing it again, I don't really know. I mean, I'll say this, that live stream, I think, was the most purchased live stream ever. It was over 250,000 people purchased that and brought it into their homes. So, I mean, obviously it was a huge success. I mean, you factor in the fact that people were home.
Yeah.
They literally were, you know, isolating. So, but it just kind of solidified the idea that this thing that Paul O'Neill created years ago really is a holiday tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, multiply that 250,000 by, you know, at least 4 or 5 or 6 people, you figure in a group or in a home setting, a lot of people watch that. And it really is amazing that it came off as well as it did. It was as well received, but also to just like I said, reaffirming that Paul's vision has really just, it just made such an impact on the holidays. It's something none of us could have ever imagined.
No, and it's interesting because, you know, year in and year out, I don't see it losing momentum. You know, I think anybody who knew this show with Paul and listened to Paul's enthusiasm, you know, when we lost Paul, you had to take, I imagine even those very close to him, and think, you know, this may not carry with the same momentum, but it seems like, you know, you guys still have an upward trajectory of the magnitude of the show, the audiences. Is that, I think, you know, the organization that Paul established, his family around him, has really kept that momentum going?
Sure. I'll be honest with you. When I got the call that night, in April 2017, I mean, I hung up the phone and sat down with my wife, and I said, well, that could be it.
Yeah.
You know, we had no idea what was going to come next. And Paul's family said, you know what, this man dedicated his life to creating this, and you know, we're going to carry this on. So we have, and it's interesting. Have you talked to Paul before in the past?
Yeah, it's unfortunately been a little longer than 2017, but yes, I have had the opportunity to speak with Paul.
So you know how dedicated he was mm-hmm. to this. He yeah. had endless energy when it came to TSO. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell us all the time, TSO is going to outlive us all. It's going to be passed on from generation to generation. And, you know, a lot of this very positive cheerleader kind of
sure.
talk. And as we kept touring, and as that little kid that came to the autograph line in the year 2000 came back a couple of years ago with his own family, I was like, wow, this is really coming full circle. And Paul was absolutely right. But you just kind of touched on it. He surrounded himself with great people. Mm-hmm. You know, the management team is fantastic. The production team, his family, absolutely behind him 100%. And, you know, myself, Chris Caffrey, Al Petrelli, Johnny Middleton, there's a number of us who have been here from the very first note. So he had a bunch of really good people in place. We all knew what the job was. And we all knew we had to go out and actually just be better now, because Paul had a knack of adding a little bit of magic, a little bit of craziness, a yeah. little bit of excitement. You know, there was just something extra with Paul there. And without that, it's like, all right, everybody's got to really step up their game now, because this is serious. And
yeah.
if we all really believe in what we're doing here and want to dedicate ourselves to carrying on Paul's legacy, we got to be just even that much better. So everybody has really bought into that, and it's not just the band members and the vocalists, it's everybody around this whole organization.
Yeah.
And man, every year these tours get better, the production is better, the crowds are still showing up in droves, and it just seems to be no end in sight.
Yeah, is it, your explanation of Paul was spot on. I remember in speaking to him, I could really, the parallels between him and someone like a Jim Steinman almost were staggering mm-hmm. to me, because or Todd Rundgren, where you're dealing with somebody who's really kind of doing this on a different plane. And that was always a concern of mine, you know, as a follower of the TSO for decades myself, that as his, you know, he was no longer involved, would it kind of go the way of some of the other famous, you know, musical legacies that have kind of been destroyed by squabbling in the family. You think of, you know, there's certain musicians I'm sure you can think of whose families have kind of picked apart the corpse of what used to be their legacy. And this really, yeah. you know, has not. It's really, the vision hasn't fluctuated, you know, and it's staggering to really see.
No, we all realize that the Trans-Siberian Orchestra show, I mean, at its core, it is a rock show, but there's more to it. It really means something. You know, for the holidays, there's some people who just don't function until they come see our show.
Yeah.
You know, the Christmas spirit does not exist until they walk out of that arena, and then they're like, yes, now I'm into it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paul's stories really have connected with so many people, and hey, when you're up there, you know, singing about redemption and loss and hope and, you know, sadness mm-hmm. and happiness, and at the end of the day, everything always comes to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for anybody else in the band, but I know myself. I sit on stage and watch people's faces, and once they are, if they've seen us before, they know what they're getting. You know, they're mm-hmm. happy from the first note on.
Yeah.
People who have never seen us before, there's a look of confusion at first because they don't really know what to look at and what to watch. But 20 minutes in, we've got them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, it's a standing ovation. People are just happy and so excited. And there is a certain energy that happens at the end of the show, because I think people are just, they're so thankful for us doing what we're doing. And at the same time, we give that back to them. So, hey, you know, I remember when we first started this, when Paul's vision for this actually became a reality, you know, there was more questions than answers. And Paul just would not give up. And that's the main thing I learned from working with Paul, is believe in what you're doing and go for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a lot of naysayers. You're going to have a lot of other people telling you how you should do this and that. Paul did it his way, and it worked. And yeah. it worked big, and I am just thankful to have been there from the beginning of this and been a part of the whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much again. You'll be rolling in for two shows in Pittsburgh on the 21st of December, which will be here before we know it. Easy for me to say. I don't have 40-some shows to do before that. But we look forward to seeing you when you get into town, man, and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
96.9 Bob FM presents Trans-Siberian Orchestra. The rock holiday tradition returns. Saturday, December 21st, two shows, PPG Paints Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Soaring guitars, dazzling lasers, and enough pyro to keep you warm all season. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a portion of the proceeds benefiting WQED Public Television.
The 21st of December. PPG Paints Arena, the spectacle, the awe that is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, will be in to do the Lost Christmas Eve for two shows. I want to thank Mr. Jeff Plate. Also, if you're interested in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, if you go back just a few episodes, you can catch Mr. Joel Hoekstra, who was gracious enough to do the show. That was just before he made his appearance on Dancing with the Stars. And if you had a chance to check that out on the hair metal night of Dancing with the Stars. And also he was performing with Cher on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just right after that interview. So if you want to get his take on the TSO show this year, if you enjoyed Jeff Plate, you probably enjoy Joel Hoekstra. So without further ado, I want to thank all of them and invite you to check out IronCityRocks.com. You can drop us an email at IronCityRocks@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the show. Also visit us on all the social medias, our Iron City Rocks, giving away some tickets to see the likes of Wasp, Killswitch Engaged, Trivium, are just some of the shows we'll be giving away tickets to coming up, so be sure to check that out as well. I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen.